are living here in Brettfeeds Town. Without him, Patrick is not around. Out at Arrowhead, they're winning games, throwing touchdowns, holding parades. And Travis is catching the ball, dropping dimes to Tyreek and more. And our sacks are coming from Chris Jones. Ty's making plays. We need more parades. And we're living here in Brettfeeds Town. Living here in Brettfeeds Town.
Gotta love it.
This has got potential, buddy.
Yes, it does. Goes out to a Brett V and KC Mo this morning.
Okay.
We take your requests and dedications.
Brett V and KC Mo.
That's right.
Nice. Love that. To pay off the tease of the dumbest drunk stories. So this is a true story. Unfortunately, a couple years ago, I parked my car at my buddy's apartment. We walked down to downtown Lee Summit. It's their Oktoberfest. One of his buddies is doing one of the barbecue competitions, they were like a wine and pork. So their title was popping corks and smoking pork. That was like what their thing was. Mm-hmm. So they're at one point, we're just going around cannonballing it, right? The reference from Caddyshack, just taking pulls of whiskey from the bottle. Next thing you know, we go back to my buddy's apartment. It gets funky. Start doing, you know, more shots, more drinks. All of a sudden, it's like 8 in the morning. I wake up. I'm completely lost. I'm like, hey, man. I can't find my car. Look around the parking lot, can't find it.
Did you say, dude, where's my car?
Literally. And walk downtown, go where I look, where I thought I, you know, maybe would park it if I moved it. Wasn't there, wasn't behind anything, like wasn't behind my buddy's store, like I might have gone there or something like that. Wasn't there. Still probably a little rough. I go to the cops. I'm like, hey, I need to report my car stolen. And they're like, okay, sir, did you drink last night? I was like, well, maybe. And they're like, clearly. And I was like, well, either way, I didn't drive it. That's like my number one rule. I was like, I just don't know where it's at. I've lost it. It's been stolen or something. They're like, all right, what's the name model? What gave them all that? So they, you know, they're like, well, we'll let you know. So my other buddy that was down there was getting ready to go back to
Blue Springs. Which means they're not doing anything with this.
No. And there's like a full-on like event going on a Sunday, like for Oktoberfest, whatever. And so then I get in my buddy's car. He drops it at my house. I'm like, call my parents. I'm like, hey, I need to call insurance for my car stolen, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to college. I'm commuting to like summer school at this point, or I guess I'm commuting to school at this point. So I'm like, it's not October. So it's their downtown days in June. So I'm commuting to school in the summer. The Royals are in town. My dad's like really excited. He's like, hey, it's Derek Jeter's last game in Kauffman. You want to go? I'm like, Dad, my car's stolen. I'm kind of bummed. You know, enjoy the game. He's like, all right. So 2 weeks go by. Get a call from the Lee Summit Police Department. And they're like, hey, we found your car. And I'm like, oh, man. I was like, is it, like, destroyed? Because I've always been told, like, if your car gets stolen, it's either going to be found, like, burnt, broken, whatever.
All the good things are taken out.
And they're like, just meet us at the address we're about to send you. And they're like, meet us here, here, here. We get to Lee Summit. And as we're, like, approaching, like, where the address is on my, like, maps or whatever, my stepdad's pulling up. And I'm like, oh, no, there it is. And it's right in front of my buddy's apartment's front door.
For 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And your buddy didn't tell you, hey, your car's here.
So the background of the story is I just got a new car. I got like a, I think it was like a Honda ZX2. And I went from like another car to that.
Right.
I'd been driving a different car. Didn't know it was there.
But you didn't realize like for 2 weeks this car hasn't moved or, just, I mean.
Irrelevant. You know, you're not looking for
it. It's true. You're
and
not.
So,
yeah.
Get in the car, start the car up, radio's full blast. Whoops.
Yeah. Well, as long as it was on 96.5 The Fan,
it didn't exist.
That all that matters. We used to play this game back in my 20s with my friend when we were, you know, just out of college and living over on Ward Parkway. We were in our 20s, right? Mm-hmm. And it was always on Friday or Saturday or Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. He'd wake me up, my roommate banging on the door, hey, help Daddy find his car, and we'd go drive around Brookside looking for the car. But the good news is most of the time this gentleman did not drive.
Parked it or somebody parked it for him and he didn't remember.
Yeah, like where it was. And so I mean it would probably about once a month help Daddy find his car and we'd go drive around Brookside and Waldo looking for the car. There it is, Bobby Bakers again. Like, do we need to play this game every Saturday morning?
Yeah. Let's start where it's always at.
Right. Because you knew every Friday we went to the same place.
Yeah. Let's start where we started the show. This is Bill Belichick on the newly acquired Chiefs player.
Look, Josh Uche is a really good rusher. He hasn't had a chance to rush much this year for the Patriots because they've been behind a lot. And, you know, it's the situation hasn't been good. But he had a big year 2 years ago. Now, you know, he had Judon on the other side of him, so it was two good pass rushers. But he'll have a lot of opportunities to rush in Kansas City. I think that he'll really help him. He's got surprising power for his size. He's got, you know, excellent quickness and a good get off, and he has some flexibility in coverage. So I think it's a good addition for a team that needs another pass rusher, which everybody does. Josh can do that. He'll definitely help him.
Josh is a great addition. You heard Bill Belichick, obviously, who drafted him in 2020 out of Michigan, talk about that. And now what this does from talking to folks or, you know, around the league about this yesterday, now gives the Chiefs five pass rushers from that kind of that end position for the stretch run. And that's what they're gearing up for now. I don't want to say we're in the stretch run yet, Dusty, but it's 7-0. We're at the halfway point of this thing. It's week eight, whatever it is now. You know, if the NFL season has come to a conclusion, we're heading into week nine. So we're kind of past that halfway point of the season, so we are gearing up for the stretch run, and this gives you two deep plus one. I mean, which is wild to think about. You have a legitimate now at defensive end, a legitimate two deep plus one when you add in Josh Uche, and the five guys are obviously Karloftis and Mike Dana, Charles Amenihu, Felix, and then Uche as well. So you got five guys now that Spags can rotate at that defensive end spot, which gives him options, but also keeps dudes fresh and healthy and ready to go as we approach, as we said, the stretch run. And then you got Charles and Dana. They can also be moved inside, and it's going to be interesting to see some of these combinations that Spags has. I'm not going to sit there and take notes on every play. Binkley can handle that, but they're going to have some opportunity to do some great things lineup-wise. And we always talk about Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, and Patrick Mahomes mixing and matching with the offense and their weapons. Steve Spagnuolo now has that opportunity on the defensive side, and he's at his best when he has a defensive end position and an interior defensive line position that is a rotational position, and this just adds to it and makes him that much better along the defensive front.
Do you think this is like a typical Spags guy? Like, big guy, Mac was talking about like his technique earlier, like big guy gonna like get in there, throw a guy down, and then get to the quarterback. Not really your, he said, kind of like in the same family as like a Micah Parsons type of rusher, right? Like
fast. Yeah.
Fast type of rusher. If you can get to the quarterback, you're a Spags guy. It doesn't matter, right? And I think this guy can obviously get to the quarterback. He's put up some good numbers. Hasn't had the opportunity, you know, over the last couple of years to do so. But if you look pre-Patriots sucking, I mean, he was pretty good football
player.
Really nice player. And essentially what you're doing is you gave up a sixth round draft pick, but in all likelihood, if Uche leaves the team at the end of the season because his contract is up, you're probably going to get a seventh round pick. Compensatory pick in next year's draft. So basically, you're trading a sixth round draft pick for nine games of this guy to help you get better on the defensive line, and a seventh round pick potentially next year. It's no harm, no foul. There's no salary cap implications on this. And for all the nerds that are complaining about this trade for whatever reason, it's a nice move for the Chiefs.
But I'd rather have a corner.
Yeah, you know what? I'd rather have a cure for cancer, but here we sit.
I'd rather just let Brett Veach deal with it because he seems to be doing just fine.
Correct.
It goes back to like when they got Hopkins. Like, isn't he washed? And it's like, you people just don't realize what Brett Veach is doing and how he's done it by now. You should have to remove your fandom.
Like, and I don't disagree with that. Like, if you're still sitting around criticizing Brett Veach when he makes a move,
that's right.
You got some issues, man. Like, I feel sorry. Like, sad. I'm sad for you.
Like, I don't know, man. Chick-fil-A needs a different bun.
Yeah. Like, well, I don't know. That whole wheat bun would have been a lot better, but they chose to go with the brioche. Yeah. So, I mean,
darn.
You know, like, yeah. Brett Veach is like Chick-fil-A. Whatever they're doing works.
Yeah, there's a lot of, just Mahomes, Veach, Reed, they're all Chick-fil-A.
Right. Like, you wake up in the morning going, well, I mean, I would, well, it's like, good for you, pal.
Yeah. I love that Mac put stuff in the rundown. Josh Uche, holy F.
Yeah. Like, well, that was his reaction yesterday. You would have thought by Mac's reaction yesterday, we just acquired Peyton Manning in his prime.
This guy's a beast. This guy's a monster. 11.5 sacks
in 2022 with 27 combined tackles, 9 tackles for a loss, and 14 quarterback hits, 17.2% pass rush with rates this season, second on the Chiefs. One hell of a model American.
Yeah, he really is.
Nicknamed the Mule. That's a hell of a shirt. Where'd you get that? Your shirt.
Is it just like a
gray hoodie?
It's like that nice hoodie, though. It's like
it's a $5.99, 32 degrees branded hoodie. I got every color because there was a sale at $5.99 a piece.
Oh, I forgot you did that. Yeah.
So I bought every color they had. That's twice.
A good call.
My buddy just did that with holiday scented candles. He went to this place. I can't remember. He said they had them all on sale for $5, bought 30 candles.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Off the shelf.
Yeah, great.
Nobody else gets any.
No, I don't
know. He goes, hey, they didn't put a limit sign.
Yeah, like, where did he go for those?
I can't remember what he said where he went. Oh, gosh.
You're a candle guy, right?
I'm a candle scentsy diffuser, of course. Yeah, my house smells like your grandmother's pumpkin pie. Oh, that sounds really weird.
Yeah.
But like that's literally like it's cinnamony apple when you walk into my house.
It's fall flavors.
Yeah, I'm weird
right?
like that, man.
So
like,
Jen and I are going to Weston after the show on Friday.
Oh,
nice little date afternoon, right? They got a great candle shop up there.
Yeah, I love candles.
And they have a candle that smells like fresh baked bread.
Mm.
Oh my God. You walk into the house and you're like, I need to eat the candle.
I just really base things off first impressions. And if I walk into a house that I have that has dogs in it and it smells like dogs, figure like these guys are dirty.
Right.
If you walk to my house, I don't care if it smells like a 65-year-old suburban white lady's house, it's going to smell like cinnamon and pumpkin spice, damn it. And you're going to be like, not bad.
Is it to cover up the dog smell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Try some Fabuloso. That'll cover it up. It's a good cleaning thing to use.
Yeah. I keep the windows open a lot.
Yeah.
But
doesn't that mess with the allergies? At least that's what my wife tells me. Can't have the windows open, the allergies.
Yeah, but I'm hopped up on medicine. So. Yeah. But yeah, I like a good Scentsy diffuser by the bed at night with a little, a little citrus or a little bit of eucalyptus.
Clearly. I like a good lilac smell, lavender type smell, because that puts you at ease. It relaxes you. And I've got one of those diffusers. My kids got it for me for Christmas last year. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. Oh,
there's a place in Weston you'll have to go to. I don't know how hip you are on whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's called like the Bourbon Saddle or the Leather Saddle or something like that. Go to that place.
They've got a couple of good bars that I like to go to. And then the one that sells the whiskey, it's the McCormick Distillery that makes some good whiskeys up there, and you can pick up those as well. So, I love Weston.
I forget what it's called. It's like the Bourbon Saddle or the something saddle. Somebody will know it on the text line, and they have like the little coiled staircase.
Oh, yeah, that place is fantastic. Yeah. You go upstairs, sit in like a library, and it's awesome. Yeah.
Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Liggins, come up on the other side. Sean Payton said something that I kind of agree with, and I'll explain why. Plus, there's more to this show than you know about Green Bay of hatred with Bob Fesco. You're listening to 96.5 Fan. Dusty Liggins, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey. Your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back in here on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for Kansas City Sports. Bob Fesco, Dusty Liggins, Mac Morey with you. Not really a big fan of Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos, but big fan of this audio clip.
Listen, I said it last night. We're trying to finish the game the right way. We're not trying to run up the score on anyone. It's the National Football League. I've been in games with a 28-point lead in the fourth quarter and lost. So we're trying to finish. The Burton throw from Sutton is trying to continue a drive. Play better.
That's it in a nutshell right there. Play better.
I do love that.
I think it's great.
I'm sorry, but here you go.
This is the pros, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't Little League. This isn't, youth league sports. This is the pros. You are paid professionals. In my opinion, in college and in the pros, there's no such thing as running up the score.
Right.
You go out there and play better. You're paid professionals. They're paid professionals. If you're getting your ass kicked, stop it. And I think, the 28-3 in the Super Bowl should be reminders to everybody that a game is never over in baseball and football and basketball and hockey, whatever it is. Games are not over until Yogi says the game ain't over till it's over. And so you continue to play. If you don't like the way the game is going, feel free to play better. Feel free to change the course of that game. Anybody who thinks you're running up the score in college and pros, man, you got life wired wrong, because there is no such thing as running up the score. It's called going out there and winning a football game. And if you don't like the way things are going, take control of your own destiny, man.
Like, there's a way about it. Like, I mean, obviously, I think the Chiefs did it to the Raiders. At one point, they were telling the defensive line that they were going to throw it to Jamal on the outside and do a screen. And, like, that was their way of being like, we're telling you, good luck. Mm-hmm. Like Detroit, like they don't stop the pressure.
Nor
like,
should they.
Miami last year hung 72 on Denver.
Right.
Sean Payton didn't go to the media afterwards and be like, well, I really wish they'd have. I mean, I don't remember at least.
He did not. No.
I don't believe he did. No. But it wasn't like, would you please like not do that? Right. Please don't put up 72 points. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we got to stop it. Like, yeah. I get, like, there's, I don't know. Do you give it like a dart analogy? Do you ever play like cricket?
Yeah, sure.
Right, with points. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes guys will just like purposely leave things and absolutely. Just go.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm going to try to, my strategy is to close the board as fast as possible. But knowing that there's points that could be a very valuable asset, I'm just going to keep hitting 19 until you try to close it.
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of the way the NFL is. Like, yeah. Well, I'm going to get points because it's part of the game.
Right.
Like,
the minute
Sorry.
You let up, the other team will take advantage of you. And the margins are so thin in the NFL and professional sports in general, you give somebody a little bit of an open door, they're going to kick this thing in. And so to sit there and complain about, my God, running up the score and this nonsense, this is the pros.
Soft.
And you are. And if you can't take it and you're one of those Carolina players, you should quit and go sell insurance and do something else. But, I mean, it's peak 2024 where we're supposed to care about everybody else's feelings. How about you go out there and do your job? Mm-hmm. You go out there and do your thing and let the record speak for itself. Go out there and play your ass off. If you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. But to sit there at the end of the game and complain that they're running up the score, come on now. That I'd cut whoever it was that said that and move on from them.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know. God. Also, like, that should, like, put a fire in your ass, too,
you would
right?
think. We just got our ass right? beat, right?
Like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, right? Let's not go out there and get our butt kicked in again.
Do you think the Chiefs would ever do that?
What?
Just keep going?
Have we ever really seen him do
Not
that?
Not with Andy Reid.
No, Andy doesn't do that kind of stuff.
Like,
I mean, every once, like the Chicago game last year, that was a little bit of revenge and whatnot for Matt and whatnot. And so I could see that. But Andy Reid kind of dials it back. I mean, that's what happened. Like, I was talking to some of the guys at the J yesterday about this. And they're like, well, it was a one-score game. I'm like, it really wasn't, though. And I think you and I may have had this conversation. Mm-hmm. That last drive that the Raiders had, that was Andy Reid, basically, and Steve Spagnuolo going to a prevent defense saying, let's just not get anybody injured. Let's just get the hell out of here. Mm-hmm. If they score, we got Patrick Mahomes. We're getting the ball back. We're going to be just fine. That was them taking it easy, if you will, I think anyway, on the Raiders, because the Chiefs defense, had they wanted to go out there and truly stop them and play up to their level, they would have, but they knew where they were. They had a 2-touchdown lead with very limited time left. And so it's just let the Raiders go down the field, do their thing, make a couple of tackles, try not to get injured, and let's get on to our next game. So I don't see Andy Reid ever being that guy who truly has stepped on the throat of a competitor. And I think Andy Reid looks around and goes, you know what? We have the opportunity to do that, but what are we gaining by doing that, right? A couple of people on Twitter get excited about it, but at the end of the day, are we really gaining anything by that? Probably not. But if you cross Andy Reid, then he will run up the score on your ass.
Right, yeah. I mean, not that we saw it coming, but we saw it coming. The colossal failure for the Green guys in New York. This is Mike Greenberg, who apparently is a gigantic Jets fan, I would think.
The New York Jets of 2024 are one of the colossal failures in sports history. When we talk about the true failure teams, people always go back to the 2011 Philadelphia Eagles, who called themselves the Dream Team, who, by the way, finished 8-8. This team isn't going to finish anywhere near 8-8. This is a team that went as all in as any team ever has. And I can't say I thought it was the wrong thing to do. As it was happening, I thought it was the right thing to do. So I guess I'm as guilty of this as anybody else. But when you consider the future Hall of Fame quarterback and the trade they make for his longtime best friend and all these young players they have on the roster, and they fire the coach because it's going to make them better and it only makes them worse, and everything else, all the words that have been said, all the words that have been written, all the actions that have been taken, all the hype and all the belief that has existed, and what the actual results have been, the Jets of 2024 are one of the greatest, most colossal and embarrassing failures in sports history. And that sticks to all of them. So when people say, does this stick to Rodgers? Yes. It doesn't mean he's not an all-time great. It doesn't mean he's not a Hall of Famer. But it most certainly goes in the permanent record. It goes in the bio. The New York Jets turned over their entire franchise to him, and it got much, much worse.
Anybody who thought it was going to be a good situation in New York didn't pay any attention to what has gone on in the NFL. When you turn your franchise over to one player like they did, it does not work. When you have a coach who is basically a yes man for the quarterback, It does not work. Is it a colossal failure? Yeah, I think it is on the surface a colossal failure. Mm-hmm. But if you went in with the expectation that the Jets were going to be good because they have a 40-year-old quarterback that hadn't played in 2 years, that's on you.
Yeah, I mean, is it more so he's washed or more so that that franchise is just terrible?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The answer is yes to all those questions. That franchise sucks. He is washed. I mean, the whole thing is a disaster. I mean, who turns their franchise over to a quarterback and just says, okay, you go hire the guys you want?
Denver.
That's Peyton Manning.
I mean...
And Peyton wasn't like this, though.
No, he was
Peyton
cool.
Didn't demand coaches. He didn't demand firings. He didn't demand players.
He didn't like Pioli.
No.
He almost was a chief, I thought, for a minute.
Yeah, they want to tell you that. He flew over Kansas City and waved.
And then they flew over Denver, and he was on the practice field
yeah.
with John. And mm-hmm. I was like, son of a... As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, yeah. boy, these would be some tough years.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't been the same since.
And they
but
were.
Hey, look, they put all their chips in for that.
And they
and
did.
Now they are where they are.
Right.
Now they're having to rebuild, and Bo Nix looks decent.
Right.
He is a sleeper fantasy pickup, by the way, for the rest of the season.
Ooh.
I saw from a guy I follow Mac.
Wow,
I was like, Bo Nix.
Most rushing that? Attempts in the NFL by quarterbacks, Bo Nix.
Maybe I pick him up.
Maybe.
Which is not something I saw at Oregon. I don't know about you, Bob, but he runs around a lot. He's quicker than I thought. I will
yeah.
give him credit for
yeah.
that.
He's moving. Yeah, I like it. You know?
So we can all agree the Jets are done. It's over, right?
Like well, yes, yeah.
You said, I think, what was it, Dana said, like seven losses?
Seven losses. They were 2-6.
Yeah. We'll revamp yeah. that Dana and Hughes stuff a little bit later on. He had said some very interesting stuff on our show this morning, but if you missed it, podcast, Dana and Mac just tweeted out on our 96.5 The Fan page on X. Who else is done in the NFL so far? Because we're at that point, right? Like we're
at the halfway point of the season
technically,
right now.
Right?
Is this week nine?
Yeah, week
is this week nine? Okay, yep. So we're at week nine. 9-9 is 18. That's more than the halfway point of
Bam.
The season. Who else is done?
Dolphins.
Dolphins, I think, are done. I think they're cooked.
We know the Panthers are done.
We know
were
the
done.
Panthers, the Patriots, the Browns. You know the usual stuff. I think the Bengals are done.
They can afford two more. According to their quarterback.
Yeah, according to their quarterback, right?
Which I agree. I think they have to, I mean, you essentially have, which Nick Wright had the same opinion you had today, is that they're done because, like, you're telling me that a team that's gone, what, 4-5?
They're 3-5.
3-5. His take was, they're done because a team that's gone 3-5, you're telling me they can go 7-1.
No.
And it's like, that doesn't really add up.
Got to win two more to get to even.
Right.
And then it's 5-5. And then you got to continue to fight. I mean, they're done.
So we go by the AFC.
I don't think the Bengals are done, by the way.
I don't either. Yeah. Not yet. I'm not. No. I mean, it's slim.
No.
It's like when you look at your fantasy matchup and it's like 80-20 to win, to lose. They have a 20% chance left. It's just they're not officially done.
Right. I see what you're saying. Like officially out, no. But officially out, yeah.
Right. They're not done, but
they
got to play damn near perfect football, and they've not shown anywhere near back-to-back weeks of perfect football, which it's tough for them, but that's the Bengals every year. And where do they end up most of the time? In the damn playoffs. AFC East is just done in general.
Done in general.
Must be nice.
It's Buffalo and everybody else.
Buffalo
man.
Has a four-game lead. Dolphins are 2-5. Patriots 2-5. Jets are 2-6.
That whole division is done.
AFC North, Cleveland done. You think Cincinnati's done.
Yeah.
We both disagree, but that's okay. That's what makes this show great. AFC South, is everybody done but Houston?
Indianapolis, your quarterback quit.
4-4 in Indianapolis.
I mean, I don't care what their record
Even
is.
Even McAfee was mad about this yesterday.
He should be.
He was like, I've never heard of this before.
I mean,
crazy.
I mean, this is nuts.
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that
Very
I did,
deep
and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, just told Sam I just needed a break right there.
His lineman should absolutely corner him and be like, brother, let me tell you something. We play every brother. Yeah. I play every play like Hulk Hogan. But like you talk to Quentin Nelson, you know, that guy's pulling, that guy's smacking 350-pound defensive ends and linemen every single play.
Yeah.
And you're going to sit there and tell him you're tired? Brother.
Who's AFC West? Everybody's still alive but the Raiders?
But the Raiders, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Broncos, Chargers.
I think the Broncos and Chargers may make the playoffs.
Slide over to the NFC. Washington, Philadelphia, the top of the NFC East. Dallas, 3-4, they're done. Giants, 2-6,
done.
They're done.
Dallas is done?
I think Dallas
is
done.
Oh, God, yes.
They're too big of a...
Jerry's out here calling out radio hosts now.
Yeah, and they're getting mad about stuff like D's Nuts was said by Tavon Diggs to a reporter. Like,
Which
you're worried
is
about
funny,
everything.
But, I mean...
Like, if CeeDee Lamb has 12 for 145 and two touchdowns and you can't win, I don't know what you're going to do. They have no running game. They can't stop the run. They can't take time off the clock. They can't stop the clock. So that's like a terrible double blade there for the Cowboys.
Like it is melting down faster than Jerry's face in Dallas
it
right now.
It smells in Dallas like it smelled last week here in Kansas City.
It's bad. Yeah, like you're right. You got the D's nuts thing yesterday, yelling at a reporter, yelling at like when you start taking it out on the media, you've tried everything else. Remember which Aaron Rodgers.
Remember when the Chargers were done because Staley started calling out, "I'm calling the defense." Right. Like, oh okay, boy, okay. Yeah, we're done.
Tough month for the Cowboys, Falcons, Eagles, Texans, Commanders.
Yeah.
Kirk's about to carve them up, dude.
They are done.
NFC North, everybody's alive.
Yep.
Yeah. Lions, Packers, Vikings, Bears, we can agree. Yeah. Best division football outside the AFC West. NFC South, Bucks done? Monday night, kill the Bucks?
I think Tampa's done. I think that is an Atlanta division and everybody else.
They lose Monday night, they're 4-6. Atlanta's already beat the 4-5, I'm sorry. They lose to the Chiefs on Monday night, 4-5. Atlanta's already beat them twice.
Yeah.
That division's over for Atlanta.
Yep.
Carolina 1-7.
Carolina better nut it up.
They're battling Tennessee for the
They're running up the score.
Yeah.
Suck it up.
And then the NFC West, I think everybody's alive. Just because
everybody is alive in that division.
Because of that division.
Yeah.
4-4, 4-4, 4-4, 3-4.
Yeah. Everybody's alive. Rams are going to win that division, maybe, right?
I think they will. Yeah. I trust their.
I have them winning it.
What do we always do with
quarterback coach?
Thank you.
Quarterback coach combination. Who's the best in the West?
Who's the best in the league, Mac? Go ahead.
Well, no. What were you going to say? Who's the best in the league? Are you going to go playoff teams? Well, really quick before we get there, I was just going to say, would you guys still say yesterday, like, you'd still say Broncos are better than the Rams, though?
Well, no. Record-wise, they're sitting at 5-3, and the Rams are 3-4.
No, that's not what I asked.
No, I said the Rams are better than the Broncos.
I think the Rams are better than the Broncos because they got their guys back now. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But neither one is keeping each other out of the playoffs.
Who's your midseason awards in the NFL?
DPOY, I'm going to go Chris Jones.
Okay.
You know, TJ Watt had another great night.
I know, TJ Watt, but I'm giving it to Chris Jones.
Yeah,
I'm watching Chris Jones right now play the best football of his career. Mm-hmm. I am impressed with Chris Jones more than I'm impressed with anybody else on this roster right now.
He's playing with a little extra oomph.
He is. He got paid, and it would be very easy just to kind of hang out for the last couple of years and collect the check. Chris Jones is playing some awesome freaking football right now.
And it's going to see less double teams. Josh Uche, Charles Omenihu coming back is the most underrated unit in football. MVP Josh Allen, Coach of the Year, Andy Reid, please, for the love of God, it's been over 20 years. Yeah. Give this guy Coach of the Year. Bob's been on it since before the season.
Dan Quinn, man.
And Rookie of the Year, Jane Daniels, Rookie of the Year. He's it.
See, I'm going with Jones, defensive player. MVP is Patrick Mahomes. They run the table. He's the quarterback. He's the MVP of this league. Mm. For me, the coach of the year is Andy Reid. I'm done with everybody else in these, pot of golds at the end of the rainbow for a year, and they get these coach of the year awards, and Andy Reid is standing there going, I just win Super Bowls. And then for my rookie of the year, it's Bo Nix. I don't know if I went over the stats, how he's leading all rookie quarterbacks of the month of October in every statistical category. Mm. Bo Nix is your rookie of the year. You've got Denver at 5-3 right now.
I mean, there'll definitely be some sort of like discussion, but I'm wondering if he can sustain it like throughout the entire year. My defensive player of the year is Will Anderson. He is
Slipper.
He's third in the league in sacks. He's tied with Aiden Hutchinson, so obviously he's got 7.5. He's only 1.5 behind the leader in sacks, which is a guy from the New York Giants, Dexter Lawrence. So I like Will Anderson in Houston, obviously a first-round pick. Houston nailed it, C.J. Stroud. Then they got Will Anderson, and they're like, all right, our franchise is set for the next four years. My MVP is Jared Goff. My coach of the year is Yep, that's right, Jared Goff.
You're a golfer.
Well, he's just leading them into the – right now, midseason. I mean, they have the number one offense. They're the number one team in the NFC, and – he's doing it, and he's doing it with decent numbers. Mahomes' numbers is the only tiebreaker that doesn't give it to Mahomes. If this is the end of the year awards and the Chiefs are still undefeated, I'm on your train with Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Because
if they lose a game, then it's not Mahomes.
Well, if they go undefeated, then it should be every award should go to the Chiefs. Defensive Player of the Year should be Chris Jones.
Yeah.
MVP should be Patrick Mahomes. Rookie of the Year should be Xavier Worthy. Head coach should be Andy Reid.
Right.
They went undefeated. They won everything, and they're going to go win another Super Bowl if that was the case.
And Executive of the Year should be Brett Veach. Has he even gotten Executive of the Year? Do they even have that in the NFL? I know they do in baseball. JJ should win that. Like, let's make it a family affair
like they
here.
They do
right?
have that.
Do they? I don't know. They're going to give it to Bill Polian this year?
Mm. Right now, the MVP award number one contender is Josh Allen, followed by Lamar Jackson, followed by Patrick Mahomes, followed by Jared Goff. Allen and Jackson plus 300, Patrick Mahomes plus 600, Jared Goff plus 800.
Those are some good odds on Patrick Mahomes right now.
Plus 600.
I like that.
Plus 600.
He has never won it.
Who, Patrick Mahomes?
Brett Veach, executive of the year.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes hasn't won that either. Is Aaron Rodgers up for that?
No, you can't when you suck. Then my rookie of the year is Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
It's over.
Yeah.
It is. It is what it is. Like, Bo Nix is 4-3. That's cool.
5-3.
Or 5-3. That's nice. Daniels is 6-2, and they're in first place in the East. And no one saw that coming. He was a rookie, Heisman Trophy winner. It was either him or Williams or Harrison before the year started. No way Bo Nix gets it. I mean, it'd be a good story.
Well, that's half a season to go, though. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Bo Nix looks great, though, right now. That's for sure.
He's our toughest competitor in this division right now.
No.
Name another quarterback in the AFC West.
Justin Herbert.
Who?
Justin Herbert.
The top eight quarterback, Justin Herbert.
Bo Nix is
on the
come.
Moving the bar for Justin Herbert. He's
true.
A top 32nd quarterback in this league.
That's right.
Only Daniel Jones is worse.
Okay.
Daniel Jones is 33rd.
Daniel Jones is like 50th.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, so I mean, do you think, do we all think Denver misses the playoffs, or you think they make it?
I got Denver making the playoffs right now. You start to look at the standings, guys, there's the haves in every conference, and then there are the have-nots. Like, I don't see any of the have-nots edging their way up into the haves right now in the AFC.
More belief that Denver makes the playoffs or the Cowboys make the playoffs?
Denver.
Okay.
But I have both of them making it.
I have Dallas, so you do have, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers.
Well, because I factor in who do the networks want to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got Detroit, Philly, Atlanta, Rams, Vikings, Packers, Cowboys in the
NFC. Okay. Detroit, Philly, Atlanta, and the Rams winning the division.
Love that, yep.
And then Vikings, Packers, Cowboys as wild card teams.
And then your wild card teams, the AFC, are Ravens, Broncos, Chargers.
Yes. Ravens, okay. Broncos, and Chargers right now. Yeah.
I think we all have the same AFC winners in their division.
KC, Houston, Buffalo. I have Pittsburgh winning the division.
That's right. Yep. I have
two up on Baltimore right now?
I have
just
KC.
A game.
Just a game. I have KC, Buffalo, Houston, Baltimore.
Yeah.
Essentially the same. And then the NFC, I have Detroit, Atlanta, Washington, Rams. Atlanta's already won theirs. Detroit's already won theirs.
Yeah, okay.
Washington is leading theirs. Rams will come back and win theirs.
Yeah, I have all the same for as you, Dusty, in the NFC. Besides, I've got, I got the Cardinals right now and your boy Kyler Murray. We'll see, though. I do like the Rams a lot.
Love that. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ Technologies, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. The number to this show, brought to you by the J Southland Tow Service, is 913-586-7965. Saw this random question. A random question today is, what's one random thing that gives you anxiety? 913-586-7965. What is one thing that gives you anxiety? Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, we asked you on the J Southland Tow Service text line, what gives you the most anxiety, or what random thing gives you anxiety?
Me, it's very simple. Watching others.
It's a
watching
good one.
Others? What do you mean by that? It's kind of vague.
Just watching others go about their life, how they park, what they do with their shopping.
Oh, like people watching.
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I love people watching.
Well, I love it, but the human behaviors when people are so just selfish.
Like when you go out and do like an event or something, you're just like watching people like try to be somebody that they shouldn't be.
Or just the way people park their car.
Does anybody cut lines at the steak line when you're out there? Do you never notice that?
Okay. No. You get in line and you wait on that.
Do people still cut, by the way? Is it still a thing?
Cody taps a line cutter and he goes, "Do you know who I am?" And people are like, "No." And he goes, "Well, I'm cutting the line." I mean, he's done that for years.
From the 913, my wife. That's tough.
Oh, wow.
I hope not.
That sucks, man.
I feel this one from the 816, pooping in a public restroom with no lock on the door.
That doesn't bother me so much.
Man, I sit there sweat. I'm just like, oh, man, please don't walk in.
Everybody poops.
Yeah, but not everybody poops the same.
Well, you're right about that, but I mean, everybody does poop. I mean, 90% of us poop in a classy way.
Yeah, like when I was in third grade at John Now, and somebody kicked the door open. Fifth grader was like, "Ew, gross! You're pooping, geek."
Yeah, I am.
And like,
pooping.
I just, like, I shriveled up, man. Like, I just, I can't. Yeah, I can't do it ever since. I cried, geek. Dude. Yeah. Third grade.
What are you gonna do? You're not gonna go poop today? Like everybody does it.
I used to pee. I used to pull my shirt up to my nipples and let the pants to the ankles until somebody called me a nerd.
That was yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah, right there in the men's room.
That's right.
Yeah, with the boogers on the wall.
Being late gives me the most anxiety ever. From Bubby,
being late is a
That's
good
tough,
one,
dude. Because it starts like right away. You're like, I normally have to leave by 4:15. I'm not leaving now. I'm gonna be late.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
It sets everything
Do I send
back,
a text?
Right? Yeah.
You know, like, what are they gonna think?
Yeah. My whole being late thing. Like, I would rather be somewhere 20 minutes early and wait than be in a rush to get somewhere. I hate that, man. That's given me anxiety forever. I've always been early and on time, and I'm trying to like convey that to my kids now. Like, it's okay to be 5 minutes early. Okay, you get there, you're relaxed, you're ready to go. Being on time, I tell them, is being late. That's what I was taught in college by the great Tom Hedrick. Being on time is being late. Get there 5 minutes early. Nothing wrong with that.
Mac, you have a random anxiety thing?
Getting like a random phone call from someone.
Phone calls, you know what I mean?
Like a phone call. Maybe it's like a good friend that you just haven't talked to in a while. You're like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah,
something's wrong. Someone's died. And it's usually just like, hey, man, what's up? What do you got on tonight's game or something?
Yeah, like that's kind of how my family is now. You know, we constantly text all day. But like if somebody calls, it's always nobody died. Tammy from the West is the same way. Anytime I call her, she has her phone. Who died? Nobody. I just got to talk to you about something.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. But that's where we are. I think a lot of us are like that in life now, where you text so much, and then when you call, it's like, uh-oh, somebody must have died.
This must be serious.
Yeah.
From the 816, when the football's in the air headed in Sky Moore's direction.
Well, you don't have to worry about that anymore. He's on the injured reserve list. Probably won't see Sky Moore again.
You saw a picture of him getting surgery.
Yeah, in the hospital bed. So hopefully everything goes well. From the 816, definitely driving to downtown KC, and there's no close second. From the 563, leaving my house gives me anxiety.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with that.
And I'm sure this one is relatable to you, not from being the mother part of it, but I am a 44-year-old mom with two teens, a husband, and bills. What doesn't give me anxiety?
I love you right there. Like, you're speaking my language right there.
I figured so.
And you know, with the kids, like, and I'm sure she's like this as well, like, You watch their behavior and you're like, why are they behaving like this? And then you talk to other parents and you find out they're all the same. They're all, as Max said yesterday, I can't say the word on the air. At times they are. I mean, Josh used to say that all the time. Wait till they get a little bit older. Wait till it's going to be worse. It's going to be worse. And boy, I'm telling you what, man, parenting is so difficult. The days are long, they say. The years are short. And that's the truest statement ever. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. But like every day, it's like they just want to push you as far as they possibly can. Mm-hmm. And I can just hear my parents. I told you one day you'd have kids just like that. You
know? I feel this person from the 816, people that don't know how to QT lines work. You ever been in Quick Trip and the lines like all the way down, and then there's the other one, and I just like, I don't feel bad anymore. Like, my buddy Brian and I have had this discussion. Like, I don't feel bad anymore when I walk into a Quick Trip and there's a line all the way down the chip aisle, and then there's just a wide open side over here. I will just walk there and set my drink.
It's double sided. The guys work both sides of the register.
And if somebody looks at me like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, this is how it works.
Yeah,
catch
on you.
Welcome to Quick Trip. From the 913,
do you know Quick Trip has their own Uncrustables now?
Did you know the NFL teams are just smashing those, by the way?
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
No,
Andy Reid, another
that.
Trendsetter.
Yeah. I love an Uncrustable, especially out of the freezer.
Me too.
But I didn't know that Quick Trip had their own. Are they bigger? Are they...
It looked like the same size. I just saw them. I was in there the other day.
From that, I went through the phrase, we need to talk.
Ugh.
Jeez.
You better know. You should know by then that it's probably happening.
Yeah. Mm. I always tell my wife, we have a few things to discuss. I'm like, what?
So the other night, you were a little tipsy. You said some things that I didn't really care for.
Yeah, it's never anything like that.
No.
For us.
No, you're married for a long enough. Now it's like you guys just, it's like a ebbs and flow. It's like a rhythm.
Right.
Yeah. It's like a Andy Reid offense.
It really is. Yeah. You're like,
Bob's calling the plays. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah. Actually, I'm not, but that's fine.
Suddenly, it was this. I can't sit in a restaurant with my back to the door. Been bad since being active military. I believe that.
I have been that guy.
My mom always had to see the people come in the door. She could never be that person.
My grandmother was like that.
Yep.
So I've gotten that from her. We sat down somewhere the other day, and my wife took this. I go, why did she? She goes, I know you want to watch the door. You do. And when you grew up in New Jersey, you always wanted to watch the door because you never knew who was going to walk in. Ask Tony.
Mm-hmm. I would say that my anxiety that I get is traffic.
You're going to have it even more once we get like year five into this and you don't drive rush hour anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And then you drive rush hour every once in a while and it's a completely different ball game. And you're like, I'm not used to all of this.
Yeah. Coming from 71 from Lee Summit, most times when I go to like St. Joe, it's not bad because I'm going there early enough. Yeah. But like if I go like to like Bally's Casino or if I'm going to go like to like Blue Line or whatever and like I have to take that 2Q exit on from 71 to like where that whole cluster you know what is, that gives me
anxiety. That gives you anxiety.
People coming out of the yield, you've got 1 second to hit exit 2Q to go north to like St. Joe or Bally's or, you know, the current game. And it's like, it's a split second. You have to get all the way over from the left lane to the right lane and exit all in the same time. I'm just like, ha.
You're white knuckling this thing.
The cigarettes are still there. You
right.
know?
Yeah. You're white knuckling this thing, huh?
Right.
Yeah. You should be okay with that, though. That's, I mean,
I don't know. Leaves him.
What was that?
I don't know, dude. There's some supernatural stuff in the studio. We need a psychic. We need somebody to come in here.
Do you remember the Long Island Medium? Is she still around?
I hope so, man, because I'm not going to lie to you. We have seen the lights flicker in this building 3 to 4 times in the last 2 weeks. Bob's microphone was not touched and not moving, and it just literally moved down into a new position.
Could be a broken hinge, though. I mean,
keep telling yourself that.
Yeah.
And then we just heard that.
That was weird.
Now, I know it's like windy as hell. But dude, if you know somebody that could come in here and like exercise the demons.
Maybe I'll burn some sage in here.
Mm-hmm. When the boss says, hey, you got a minute.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know how to read our boss. Never have, never understood it. I have a better chance at reading Brett Veach than Steven Spector. And I'm never going to read Brett Veach.
Right.
Like when you think you know Brett Veach, you don't know Jack. Like you're like, are the Chiefs done? Probably. They should probably go get a corner receiver. Here's a linebacker.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would have gotten a corner. Great. You're not the general manager.
Yeah.
Probably never will be. And the guy's got a track record.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
That gives me anxiety too. People who can't appreciate the run that we're on in sports.
Yeah.
Like that really does drive me nuts. Like the anxiety of watching people upset with the moves that the Chiefs make.
Like something that also gives me anxiety is when I was a kid reaching in to see which candy I'd take on Halloween. Be like, oh, do I take the or having to understand my parents be like, hey, by the way, you know, like here's the deal. That candy's poison. You're gonna need to put that to the side. Where did it go? Not in the trash can. Weird.
Yeah, we ate it. Yes, that one had razor blades in it. We saved you.
That's right. Coming up on the other side.
Anybody ever found a razor blade in their candy?
No. And has anybody ever gave away an adult gummy?
No.
To kids?
That's like, the other thing. We're getting into Halloween. What is that? Thursday.
Oh, it's coming.
Oh, be careful. They're passing out weed.
Nobody's
passing out weed.
Let me give you a real quick PSA about medicinal gummies. Those are locked up in the parent drawer, and nobody gets those because they're expensive.
They're expensive. Yeah, people aren't giving that away at Halloween. Like, that's like the dumbest thing. And I haven't seen many of the local news stories telling us that, be careful this year, barbiturates may be given out for Halloween.
Dad, there's this really weird smelling white rolled up thing in my trick or treat bag. Let me see what that.
Yeah,
you don't want this.
Put that out real quick. Nobody's giving out weed. Like Josh and I have done this bit for years, you know, Dusty, and it's true. Every year, people are like, be careful. More and more people are passing out marijuana at Halloween. No, they're not.
No, and if they are, they're going to the adults. Like, here's your candy, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. See you next trip around the block. As they sit in the cul-de-sac drinking beers next to a bonfire.
God, like this ridiculousness of people passing out weed at Halloween. Good Lord.
Something that might give you anxiety is our start bench cut. It comes up on the other side here at 96.5 The Fan. You're home. Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.